So Madhilila chapter 3, and we'll cover this series of verses from 204 to 212. So I'll just read the translations for 204 onwards. This pastime takes place in the house of Advaita Acharya, just before Lord Chaitanya leaves for Puri. This is his sort of final stage just before embarking on his permanent residence in Puri. As Mother Sachi constantly saw the face of her son and fed him, her own happiness increased and was indeed complete. In this way, at Advaita Acharya's house, all the devotees met and passed some days together in a greatly festive mood. The next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees to return to their respective homes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also asked them to execute the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord at their homes, and he assured them that they would be able to meet him again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, "Sometimes you will come to Jagannath Puri, and sometimes I shall come bathe in the Ganges." Sri Advaita Acharya sent four persons, Nityananda Gosai, Jagadananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda Datta, to accompany the Lord. After pacifying his mother, Sachi Mata, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu submitted prayers to her lotus feet. When everything was arranged, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated his mother and then started for Jagannath Puri. In the house of Advaita Acharya, there arose tumultuous crying. And so we come to today's verse, text 212. Translation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unaffected. He left swiftly and Advaita Acharya followed him, weeping. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the word nirapeksha means not being affected by anything material and remaining fixed in the service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not very much care for the roaring tumult and cry at the house of Advaita Acharya, which he heard when starting for Jagannath Puri. Worldly moralists may criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for being very cruel, but the Lord did not care for such criticism. As the world teacher of this Krishna consciousness movement, he actually showed that a person seriously engaged in Krishna consciousness should not be affected by worldly affection. The best course is to engage in rendering service to the Lord and to become callous to material objectives. Externally, everyone is attached to material things, but if one becomes entangled in such things, he cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness should not care for the so-called morality of the material world, if that morality opposes the service of the Lord. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally shown, one cannot properly execute Krishna consciousness without being neutral. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Om Gyanati Vidhanasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshram Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gunavaya Namah. So a very interesting series of pastimes, just the precursor to Mahaprabhu beginning his stay in Puri. Of course, he goes on a little trip as well. But he's taken permission from his mother at this house of Advaita Acharya. It is a nice reciprocation that his mother requested. His mother was obviously heartbroken when Lord Chaitanya decided to take sannyas. So her request was that he should stay in Puri at least, because Puri and Navadvip, the Mayapur area, are intimately connected. And so people would always be traveling back and forth, and in this way she could get some news. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this. Now, of course, this may be one of the external reasons. I mean, nothing's exactly external when it's connected to the Lord or indeed Sachimata. It's in a different category altogether. But there are other reasons why Mahaprabhu wanted to stay in Puri. This is obviously the place of, this is the mood of the Rathyatra mood, where the gopis are trying to take Jagannath back to them. And so this is Mahaprabhu's mood. Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani is there trying to attract Krishna. So Jagannath Puri is an appropriate location where that mood is developed and manifest. So there are a couple of reasons why Lord Chaitanya decides to stay in Puri. But he has been looked after very nicely by Advaita Acharya and delayed also. Just like when Krishna was trying to leave Hastinapur, Yudhishthir Maharaj delayed him. Because obviously you don't want Krishna to leave. So who wants Mahaprabhu to leave? So just stay another day. Go another couple of days. That type of gentle persuasion which can never fail to melt the heart of the Lord, at least for some time. I think I mentioned this before once. Sometimes we go to a program, and out of great love and compassion, the hosts insist on feeding you much more than you can normally eat. But it is often done with such love and affection that you really just accept it, and you can't. You don't really want to say no. So just like that, Mahaprabhu knows he has his mission to continue. But still, based on the heartfelt appeal of his devotees, he allows that stage to be delayed a little bit, but not too much. So we see here this interesting pastime that Mahaprabhu is finally leaving, and he is walking off without turning back, so to say. He has left this particular episode, this pastime, and he is on his way to starting the next episode. And he has been sent for assistance by Advaita Acharya. Now, everyone in the house, of course, is not quite seeing it that way. And they are in great distress. They're crying. They're crying, kandite, kandite, as it says. It says Advaita Acharya was running after Mahaprabhu, crying and weeping. And so this is an interesting dimension to the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and his devotees. There is always a permanent state of loving reciprocation between them. But just how it manifests, it varies. The manifestation of that varies as the different pastimes proceed. There are aspects where there is great awe and reverence for the Lord. And Mahaprabhu very much resists that and doesn't like it. And he likes to be in the mood of a sadhaka. And then there are other times when Mahaprabhu puts aside the sadhaka role for some time and demonstrates his actual position as the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord even completely adopts the mood of Srimati Radharani on certain occasions. So Mahaprabhu demonstrates multiple moods. And it's interesting to see how the devotees reciprocate with the different moods that Mahaprabhu demonstrates. Here Mahaprabhu is demonstrating not only his love for the devotees through all his interactions and his accepting their invitations over the last few days, but now he's going to demonstrate the mood of renunciation, which is a very important quality of the Supreme Lord. We know that the Supreme Lord is called Bhagavan, Bhagyavan, full of opulences. And one of the opulences is renunciation, along with fame, beauty, strength. What else is there? Renunciation, knowledge. I've missed one. Beauty, you said? Wealth. Wealth. So these are all the different qualities of the Lord, and living entities have them in some minute degree. The Lord has them in full. So when the Lord decides to renounce, well, no one can stop him. All they can do is make appeals to him. Mother Sachi went through the same thing. Lord Chaitanya had already decided to take sannyas. The decision to take sannyas is normally never welcomed by friends, supporters, family members. And even as Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj explains, that when someone decides to dedicate themselves exclusively to Krishna, it is not typically the case that family members will approve of the move. They will generally say, just wait a little longer. Wait till you've finished your duties. Wait till you've done this, wait till you've done that. And then at a later time, if you really want to, do it. But of course, so that permission never really comes. So in one sense, Mahaprabhu has made his decision without really taking into account directly Sachimata's wishes. But still then, he has great affection and respect for her as his dear mother. And so he wants to pacify her. So he accepts this suggestion of hers. So she realizes that he's the Supreme Lord, completely independent, free to do what he wants. So the best thing I can do is to try to help the situation, try to suggest something that might modify the situation. And her suggestion is that please stay in Puri. Please don't go too far. Because the traditional concept of sannyas, and as demonstrated by Kardama Muni, Kapila Dev, and so many others, is that one leaves never to be seen again, never to participate in that particular society again. And that is one of the traits, that one gives up all connections. One gives up completely any social customs, any social attachments, any social responsibilities. So Mahaprabhu just wants to assure her, reassure her and all the devotees that he's not quite going to do that. Devotees will still be able to see him. They will still have his association. But it will just be in accordance with a slightly different program of formality, a slightly different style of interaction. It might not be so easy or casual now to see the Lord, but still that will be there. Because really, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas is for the purpose of increasing his preaching. And this is really the only type of sannyas that we are capable of really accepting in today's age. As it said, there are no real sannyasis in this age of Kali Yuga. But Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj revived this tradition only for the sake of preaching, because it could allow one to preach without having any other entanglements or obligations. So even within that ashram, there is great challenge, because expectations of others do not always go in alignment with that mood of complete renunciation of anything else. It's very interesting that Prabhupada speaks about worldly morality. And people have many morals in this world. Well, at least those who are more a bit more refined, or you can say a bit more sattvic, or a little more higher situated in the modes. They have a whole set of codes and codes for conduct, codes for morals, codes for behavior in society. Manners, so many other things are there. And obviously, looking after your dependents, not leaving them, not being harsh to them, not hurting them, is a sort of one of these codes of the moral world. But in the moral world, the vast majority of interactions are based upon sense gratification. And one's associations, one's affections, they are all very much connected to sense gratification. As Prabhupada says, either it is personal sense gratification or extended sense gratification. I will satisfy myself through either eating or through enjoying or whatever, but then I might understand that I can have more fun actually if I enjoy with others. So then I have family members, then I have children, then I have wife, then I have all these other household items, paraphernalia, situations, work arrangements, clubs, social gatherings, all of these things where I can actually have sense gratification, but with others. And Prabhupada says sometimes people do things like charity work. And yes, that doesn't directly give themselves sense gratification, but it falls often in the category of extended sense gratification, where they feel, okay, I am now doing good for my fellow kinsmen, for others. And if they are happy, then yes, I may feel worthy, or I may feel like I've done something. Or for some people, it's a type of pride. It's an exercise to gain pride. Not always. Not always. Definitely in the Gita it's described how charity can be legitimately given. Charity is given according to one's situation in the mode of ignorance, passion, goodness. So different people have different motivations in how they conduct charitable acts. That's for sure. But it is all based on the platform of sense gratification. Perhaps the desire for punya in future lives. Perhaps just the desire for fulfilling one's duty. So there are all these different activities, different types of affection, different types of sense gratification. And it's an interesting idea because we can't really say that the interaction of the Lord's devotees with the Lord is for the purpose of sense gratification. But still, even if it isn't, what happens when one engages in close association with others is that there is a danger of attachment developing, which is not purely spiritual. Just when we spend time with a person, we naturally grow accustomed to them, to their physical form, to their features, to their speech, to their everything. It's natural. So that can be potentially dangerous. And therefore, sometimes even in the interactions between devotees and Krishna, sometimes a certain act is demonstrated which appears to be designed to cut off these bonds of affection. And that's really what Prabhupada has elaborated on in this purport. He's focused on that aspect of it, that angle. That Mahaprabhu leaving, being totally undisturbed by everyone's crying and weeping, is a sign of his renunciation. And it is to be encouraged because material affection is not desirable. So of course, on a different level, these devotees are crying in separation of the Lord. It may not even be in their minds that they have developed some material attachment to the Lord. Now, it is very easy to develop attachment to the Lord for material purposes. Lord Chaitanya was physically a very attractive person. You know, tall, beautiful complexion, at least prior to taking sannyas, long hair, which was very attractive to everyone. So some people's approach to him may not necessarily have been for pure spiritual chanting of the holy name. It would be just because he's a very attractive, beautiful person that I would want to spend time with. So that can be dangerous also. Even when it is connected to the Lord, it could be potentially dangerous. One can be in association of the Lord, be right next to him. But if one's mentality is not quite correct, one won't achieve the full result. And we see this, we've seen this in so many pastimes. With Krishna, when he was enacting his different leelas, there were other personalities who had association of him. And they were seeing the same Krishna, really, in terms of physical characteristics as anyone else was. But they were seeing him as either a threat to their material prosperity. I mean, that's quite a foolish notion in itself. But of course, they didn't really recognize his position. So Duryodhan and the Kauravas and others had great enmity towards him, Shishupal, Dantavakra, so many others right next to Krishna, but they couldn't get it. But they could appreciate his heroism, his strength, his courage, which is why they tried to often put him down and create intrigues to get rid of him. Of course, that can never work, because, I mean, who can get rid of the Supreme Lord? And if the Supreme Lord doesn't want, who can cause harm to his devotees? So it's a very interesting aspect that when one approaches the Supreme Lord, one should do that with the correct mood, the correct mentality of pleasing the Supreme Lord according to what he defines as pleasing. Not necessarily what we define as pleasing. Our definitions may change according to our conditioned whims, which vary from day to day, which vary according to the latest episode or event we've been to, or the latest interaction we've had. Our moods can change very flickeringly. And we may hear an amazing class from an amazing speaker, and we'll be enlivened for a few minutes. And we may think, right, that's it. Today's the day I'm going to change. From now on, no more nonsense. I'm going to be a perfect sadhaka. 2:30 rising every day, full program. It might last one day, might last 2 days. Then it doesn't always continue. So our mood, our resolutions, our determinations, they are flickering. They're not always substantial. It is very nice that we have a desire to keep improving. And very nice that we're inspired by an advanced person. That's very good. But we have to also develop steadiness. And so this dimension of renunciation, vairagya, is a fundamental quality in a devotee's life. It goes hand in hand with the cultivation of knowledge. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he once composed two verses on this palm leaf. And this is after he has become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And he wrote these verses on a palm leaf and requested the devotees to show them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the verses was, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam Shikshartam Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharire Dhari Kripam Buddhiyasta Maham Prapadye. That I worship, I offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to teach us real knowledge. Real knowledge and detachment from anything that does not foster Krishna consciousness. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya glorifying Mahaprabhu, glorifying his qualities. Now when the verse was given, when the leaf was given to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu immediately ripped it up. That's his nature. But prior to that, the devotees had read the verse. And they accepted it as a great description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. He's come to give pure bhakti and he's giving pure knowledge of Krishna that helps us understand and develop bhakti. Obviously, sambandha, understanding knowledge of Krishna is the first step. But vairagya is an inseparable factor in this whole process. Without vairagya, without renunciation from matter, one can never put their full connection to the Lord. If we have a certain capacity for doing something, if part of that capacity is used for doing one item, there is only a certain amount left for doing another item. We can apply such a quantitative calculation just in our conditioned state. It can be useful because each person has their own capacity to do whatever it is. One person can do a very small quantity. One person can do a very large quantity. But each person has their capacity. So the Gita and scripture doesn't really teach us to actively try to expand our capacity. That's the sort of training you get from the modern gurus of the world. Expand your consciousness, become more capable, become more effective, become more able to complete 100 tasks in a day when you could previously only do 10. Expand yourself. Rather, the thrust of the scriptural injunctions is that one should be ekeha kurunandana. Whatever capacity you have, dovetail it 100%. Don't keep comparing yourself to another person of a higher capacity, or indeed of a lower capacity. Just whatever it is that you have, offer 100% of it in the pursuit of your spiritual practice. And in that way, there won't be any space for anything non-spiritual. So most of us, if not all of us, are in a path where we are slowly transitioning from our minds being full of material agendas to hopefully a mind full of only agendas for Krishna. So in that process, there's a bit of a ratio going on. Part of our interests, part of our mindset is definitely materially motivated. And part of it is definitely Krishna motivated. So we are learning to minimize the material part and to expand the spiritual part. So detachment from anything that does not foster Krishna consciousness, we can understand is a very essential part of it. In the third canto, there is a whole series of interactions between Kapila Dev and his mother. It's interesting, this is between Lord Chaitanya and his mother's. We've just had a little episode between his mother and Lord Chaitanya. And the pastime of Kapila Dev and Devahuti is very interesting. Kapila Dev is his son. And just before he leaves, he gives her some very valuable instructions. Actually, an extensive discourse, an extensive discussion on Sankhya philosophy. And there is a whole series of verses where he describes the characteristics and nature of a devotee. Titikshiva karunika hasurida sarvadehina majata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushana. That one is merciful, tolerant, has no enemies, is peaceful, abide by the scriptures, is adorned with all sadhava sadhu bhushana, all the ornaments, was ornamented by all the qualities of a sadhu. And then he explains that mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridam matkrite tyakto karmanas tyaktva svajana bandhavah. And this verse is a little, might be unpalatable for some. Mai ananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye drida. To the practitioner who engages with single-pointed ananya bhakti towards me, the Supreme Lord, and engages in that bhakti with great force, drida, drida bhakti. Matkrite tyaktva karmanas. For my sake, he's prepared to give up karmanas, activities. Tyaktva swajana bandhava. He's prepared to give up his own people, his own family members. Svabandhava, his own friends. So for my sake, a pure devotee is prepared to give up any and all attachments in this world. And he engages in staunch devotional service. So that's very interesting. That we are encouraged, or Kapila Dev is instructing, that for the sake of the Lord, one should be prepared to give up absolutely everything in this world. Now that obviously means one very clear thing. It means there are going to be times that if this is practiced, some people are not going to be pleased. Isn't it? That's the reality of it. Mahaprabhu is leaving, all his devotees are definitely not pleased. In Katwa, when Mahaprabhu's beautiful hair is being cut off, the barber is crying, what a job have I been given? But Mahaprabhu is, just get rid of it. Renunciation and complete attachment from others. But for the practitioner, they have to demonstrate that I'm prepared to do this regardless of what others think. Actually, renunciation in the past was like this. These days, it's a bit more consultative, and you have to get permission from so many places before you're allowed to renounce. That itself is a funny concept, before you're allowed to renounce. Renunciation, if you look at Dhritarashtra, he decided after hearing from Vidura, in the middle of the night he got up and walked off. There was no extensive consultation with his ministers, with Sanjaya, nor even his wife. He didn't have a whole discussion of what's going to happen to the future, how will things be looked after. He just walked off. His wife Gandhari saw he was leaving. She didn't engage in a big discussion, she just went after him. Sanjaya, or his servant, was seeing this, and he was crying. He was thinking, oh, he's left, and he tried to find out where he's gone, and then he conveyed the news later. So that's the mood of renunciation of the past, that when one has made a firm determination to pursue spiritual practice only and exclusively, the way they demonstrate that is very very directly. Middle of the night means you can't have a whole sing-song. You can't have a whole extensive period of lamentation. You just leave. That's why Lord Ram was also prepared to leave straight away without a whole song and a dance. But of course the devotees never quite allow the Lord to do that. They'll still do all these things. They'll still look after him, look for him. So this is how renunciation typically is supposed to happen. And it is not palatable to others around. There is only a certain extent to which one may be able to pacify such persons also. And we should not think that if someone is not pacified because of a a genuine desire to renounce and dedicate fully for the Lord, that something wrong has been done. We shouldn't think that it's wrong. And we also have to be very careful. As I said, we have to see Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. We have to be very clear that our attempts at renunciation are genuine. And not, as Prabhupada says, Markata Vairagya. The jumping renunciation of a monkey. Jumping from one idea to another. We renounce something when it becomes inconvenient. When relationships become difficult to maintain, we decide to renounce them. That is never endorsed in the scripture. That is never encouraged. That is not a valid reason for renunciation. But the awakening of a deep desire to please the Lord fully and with the blessings of the seniors, blessings of the spiritual master, is a valid reason. That is a valid reason to want to dedicate oneself to spiritual life. And that is the mood we also try to encourage and maybe spark in others. Encouraging a mood of just continuing in the material world is not really the job of a preacher. The job of a preacher is to try to get someone to leave the material world according to a genuine, wholesome process, not anything like Markata Vairagya. And so devotees have to do this. But it is difficult. So Kapila Dev goes on to explain that attachments in this world cause so much trouble. But those same attachments, when they are directed to holy persons, to pure devotees, those attachments can lead to liberation, can lead to freedom from material hankering, material attachment. So that is the secret, that everyone is materially attached to some degree or other. But when that attachment is dovetailed to a devotee of the Lord, that attachment is very, very good. Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimuktestamo dvaram yoshitam sangi sangan sangam mahantaste samachitta prashanta vimanyava surida sadavoye. That the door to liberation is opened when one serves and develops attachment to pure devotees, to the Mahatmas. But the door to hell is opened when one develops attachment to lusty persons, those who are after sex indulgence, or those who make friends with such persons. So one type of association leads to upliftment. Another type of association leads to degradation. So while we are in the category of being desperately attached to material association, the best recommendation we can give to ourselves and to others who are materially attached, which is practically the entire world, is just try to develop a little attraction, a little attachment for the devotees of the Lord, for the process of devotional service. Develop a little attraction. And how is that done? Practically it is done when a person renders some service. Shushrusho shraddhanasya vasudeva katha ruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirthani shevanat syan mahat sevaya. A little service to the Mahatma, a little service to the saintly persons, creates within us a little attraction for hearing of Krishna. So somehow Prabhupada did that. He encouraged individuals to render some service to the mission, to persons, to advanced persons. That is our preaching ideas also, that we try to get people in general to somehow dovetail a little of their attraction to devotees, to the process of devotional service, to render some service, to do something for the Lord, offer something, whatever they have, to the Lord. And in this way, one's attachment is transferred to the devotees. There is never actually an injunction in scripture that one should be detached from the devotees. Detachment is supposed to be detachment from material things. detachment from material relationships, detachment from material ideas of sense gratification. But it's no endorsement to be detached from devotees. Our attachment should be to devotees, but it is in a very clear connection of service to the Lord. And that attachment takes us onwards and upwards. So knowledge naturally leads to renunciation, and that renunciation is, well, it is an essential component of being able to serve Mahaprabhu in his mission. When Mahaprabhu would hear of the austerities certain devotees would perform, some of the Goswamis and others, he was internally very, very pleased. He was extremely pleased when he heard and saw Rupa and Sanatan acting with at a level of renunciation that most of us can't even comprehend. What they were prepared to do, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, what they were prepared to do for the service of the Lord. And Mahaprabhu accepted it. He accepted, yes, this is the bona fide process, that a sincere sadhu, a sincere person, accepts this strong mood of renunciation. So we have to cultivate renunciation. We can only do it when we actually have examples of renunciation in front of us. That is very, very important. We're not going to wake up one morning and just decide to renounce and have that feeling remain with us for a long period of time. Rather, we need to always be looking at and taking the association of others who are genuinely renounced. That is the way it's going to happen, at least for me. at least for fallen sadhakas, falling attempting sadhakas. We need actual examples of persons who are able to renounce whatever they have for the Lord, in a genuine sense of yukta vairagya. Without renunciation, you can't do anything yukta for the Lord. Sometimes we acquire more and more things thinking it is our method of yukta vairagya. But actually it's a symptom of just acquiring more and more. And then perhaps at best dovetailing something. So let's develop this mood. It's a mood demonstrated by the Lord. It's a mood he would like the devotees to develop also. Material affection can be an obstacle. As it is said, this desire for affection amongst family members, deha patya kalatradi shvatma senya shvasatsvapi desham pramutanitthanam bashyanapi na bashyati, all the fallible soldiers that we develop attachment and attraction for and to, these will not help us at the time of leaving this world. There's one thing that this episode with the coronavirus has actually at least made me think about. It is that we really, truly are flying our own plane. At the end of it, we can't even have this sort of whimsical, romantic idea that, okay, I'll have done my devotional service in life and it'll be imperfect in so many ways. And at the end of it, somehow devotees will be around me and they'll be chanting and that'll be it, that'll be okay. Someone who's got this disease won't even be allowed to be anywhere near the association of others. They'll be leaving on their own. And some have left. Some will be in coma before they leave. There's no question that anyone or anyone else, anything, can do anything for that person directly at that point. It really is a case of what is our deep attraction, our deep devotion to the Lord. What is our connection with the Lord that we have cultivated up until that moment? If we have cultivated such a mood, or at least if we've demonstrated to the Lord that we've been sufficiently serious about cultivating this, well then Lord Chaitanya promises that he will personally enter a person's consciousness if they are unable to do so. In other scriptures it's also said Krishna, in the Purana somewhere, it said Krishna, that he will come and enter the consciousness of a person who is unable to, by their own efforts, focus on him due to excessive pain and suffering at the time of death. Now, Krishna is only going to do that for his devotees. So we really have to understand that first and foremost, our connection is with Krishna. Is with Krishna. No one else is guaranteed to be able to do anything for us in this embodied state. They can pray for us, that is for sure. And those prayers are very powerful. But not necessarily that we will be able to get instructions or advice at the time when it is most critical for us. If we think, I will be like Maharaj Khatvanga, in a moment I will renounce, and I am going to save that moment until I'm on my deathbed, just about to leave. That will never happen. We can never delay that possibility till the final moment. Because in the final moment, you can't think of anything clearly. You are in a complete confused state, in great pain, suffering. There's no question of making any substantial decisions. Rather, the decision has to be made well before and right now. It has to be made right now so that, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Komaram Acharet Pragyo, that one has to begin and engage in devotional service right from childhood, right from youth, right from a very, very young age. So Mahaprabhu's program is a program of a lot of fun in devotional service, but with a very, very serious aspect to it. And so from time to time we get a little glimpse of this, this mood of renunciation, this importance of vairagya, the importance of spiritual knowledge that sustains our renunciation. Our renunciation is for one purpose only, so that we can dovetail 100% of our capacity for the Lord. If there is anything else occupying our capacity, it is not 100% for the Lord. So for that purpose, we accept elements of renunciation. So I'll stop there. If anyone has any questions, comments, or if you'd like to elaborate.